नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, King Yayati Achieves Liberation, Text Number 20. Dristam Srutam Asan Budva Nanudhyayan Na Sandishet Samsritim chatma nasham cha tatra vidvan sa atmadrik dristam srutam asadbudva nanudhyayena sandishet samsritim chatma nasham cha Tatra vidvana satmadrik Dristam srutram asadbudva Nanudhyayena sandishet Samsritim chatmanasam cha Tatra vidvansa atmadrik Dristam srutram asadbudva Nanudhyayena sandishet Samsritin chatmanasam cha Tatra vidvansa atmadrik Dristam, the material enjoyment we experience in our present life. Srutam, material enjoyment as promised to fruitive workers for future happiness either in this life or the next in the heavenly planets and so on. Asat, all temporary and forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. Translation, please repeat. One who knows that material happiness, whether good or bad, in this life or in the next, on this planet or in the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless. And such an intelligent person should not try to enjoy or even think of such things, is a knower of the self. Such a realized person knows quite well that material happiness is the very cause of continued material existence and forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entity is a spirit soul, and the material body is his encagement. This is the beginning of spiritual understanding. Dehenosmin yata dehe komaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dira tatra namuyate mti. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2:13. The real mission of human life is to get free from encagement in this material body. Therefore, Krishna descends to teach the conditioned soul about spiritual realization and how to become free from material bondage. Yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. The words dharmasya glani means pollution of one's existence. Our existence is now polluted, and it must be purified. Satvam sudayet. The human life is meant for this purification, not for thinking of happiness in terms of the external body, which is the cause of material bondage. Therefore, in this verse, Maharaj Yayati advises that whatever material happiness we see and whatever is promised for enjoyment in the merely flickering is merely all flickering and misery, temporary. Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avitino Jana. Even if one is promoted to Brahma Loka, if one is not freed from material bondage, one must return to this planet Earth and continue in the miserable condition of material existence. Bhutva Bhutva Pradiyate. One should always keep this understanding in mind so as not to be allured by any kind of sense enjoyment in this life or in the next. One who is fully aware of this truth is self-realized, sa-atmadrik. But aside from him, everyone suffers in the cycle of birth and death, mrityu-sansara-bhartmanam. This understanding is one of true knowledge, and anything contrary to this is but a cause of unhappiness. Krishna-bhakta-niskama-ate-eva-shanta. Only a Krishna-conscious person who knows the aim and object of life is peaceful. All others, whether karmis, jnanis, or yogis, are restless and cannot enjoy real peace. Vistram sutram asadbhudva nanu jnayana sandishet samsmritim chatmanasam cha tatra vidvansa atmadrik. One who knows that material happiness, whether good or bad, in this life or in the next, on this planet or on the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless, and that an intelligent person should not try to enjoy or even think of such things, is the knower of the self. Such a self-realized person knows quite well that material happiness is the very cause of continued material existence and forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandigam Adadana Srinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Simad Rupa Padam Bhujo Jalisam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So now Maharaj Yati speaking very, very nice verse here. Dristam. We know the word dristi. Dristi means seen. So dristam, that happiness that we see before ourselves. In this present lifetime, we see so many so-called enjoyable things. Dristam. And srutam, we know srutam, to hear. We hear about that if we perform good karma, we'll go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. Dristam srutam asad. Asad means not satya, asat. It is all imaginary, illusory. It is not real. Even if you go to the heavenly planets, just like in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're always reading that although we think that it's very nice and enjoyable in heavenly planets, every once in a while the demons come there and disturb everything. And there's big fight and people are killed and horrible scenes are there. So even in the heavenly planets, disturbance is there. And ultimately, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that one may go to the heavenly planets, but then patantiyadho, he comes back down. One day you go to the ATM, you put your good karma credit debit card in, and it says zero balance. And you come back to this Marchaloka. So both of these enjoyments, whatever we're seeing right before our eyes or whatever we're hearing about, it is all temporary. Just like I was in LA one time, Prabhupada gave a lecture, because here he said, oh, that's what's written in the verse. One who knows the material happiness, whether good or bad. So Prabhupada was talking about this point, that some we say this misery is bad, this happiness is good. He said, just like in the desert, there was caravan, so many elephants, or not elephants, camels, is going on the caravan. And the sun is very hot, just like now finally the summer is, although we had a very mild April, now May is starting to show her teeth. So the sun was very hot and dry. So the camels, they're passing stool. So because it's very hot and dry and sun is very hot, the top of the stool is dry. And the bottom of the stool is still moist. So somebody said the top of the stool is better. So Prabhupada said he's talking about stool. What is the question, good stool or bad stool? It is all stool. There's no question. So we're thinking that this material world, there's some misery that is bad, there's some happiness that is good. Like again in Los Angeles, I was there, Prabhupada said, everyone in this material world is suffering and enjoying. He said, no, everyone in this material world is suffering only. But some suffering we call enjoyment and some suffering we call suffering. Because it is all temporary, it slips through our hands. Whatever we're trying to enjoy, it is only temporary. For a few moments only we enjoy. Prabhupada gives the example, in the old days there was a type of punishment where they would sit you on a board like that had a pivot like this, and there was a tub of water, and they would dunk you under the water. And just when you think you can't hold your breath any longer, then come, and then again back down. So material life is like that. We're struggling so very hard all week long. We have a job that we can't stand. We have a boss who we hate. He's always criticizing us and pushing us to work harder. Otherwise we're going to lay you off. And so he can't stand his job, he can't stand his boss, he can't stand his fellow workers. Then on the weekend he gets to enjoy. And what is enjoyment? He goes to the bar and drinks. Some type of drink they take, some type of plant called hops, and they ferment it, and they make beer. Then they take some grains or some potatoes and make them rotten. Then they distill out the essence of the rottenness. And everybody thinks it's very sophisticated to drink distilled essence of rottenness. It's so bad you have to mix it with orange juice or tomato juice or something like that. And then they get sick and they throw up and they get a big headache the next day. I'm never going to. Even their enjoyment is miserable. They just for 1 or 2 days, then and again they're back at their job. So this is material existence. So it says, Dristam Srutam Asad Budva Nanu Dhyayan. Just like we know the word Dhyan. It's a Nanu Dhyayan. Don't even think about it. Dhyan we know means to concentrate on, to meditate on. Nanu Dhyayan. Don't even think about it. Samsritin. Just like we know samsara. Samsritin. It is the cause of this birth and death. We forget our birth in this material world. And everybody thinks that's a very nice thing. As soon as some child is born in America, they hand out these horrible things called cigars, very nasty things. Anyway, somehow they have this, at least you know, when I lived in America, they did. I don't know if they still do that. Or here they have some sacrifice. All the relatives are very happy. Oh, you had child, you had child, you had child. But if you ask the child what he thought about the event, he has a very succinct opinion about the whole event. That's what he thought about it. Everybody goes, oh, congratulations, congratulations. We forget, it's horrible. Bhagavatam also describes going through the birth canal, the brain, the bones and the skull, they bend together, and it's such a horrible thing that because one is conscious in the womb and praying, if you get me out, I'll worship you. But it's such a miserable thing coming out. We forget everything. So birth we forgot. We don't remember anything. And when we have young body, we think life will go on like that forever. But now we finally reach 70. Things are starting to break down. It's not all the aches and pains that are creaking. I tell you, old age is not for the weak-hearted. Now you think, most of you are young, you think, oh, life will go on like this forever. It's not. So this material world is a miserable place. No matter where you are, here Prabhupada quotes all our favorite verses. Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka. Even if you go to the highest planet, Brahma Loka. Just like the other day we were celebrating Nisringa Chaturdasi. So Hiranyakashipu, he performed great penance and austerities with the idea to become immortal. When he asked Lord Brahma, I want to become immortal, and Lord Brahma said, even I, Lord Brahma, have to die. I cannot give you immortality. So even Lord Brahma, he has lifetime, millions and millions and billions of years. We cannot even calculate. Still he has an end. So everywhere in this material world, it is just bad stool and good, it is wet stool and dry stool. It is all stool. So therefore it says, one who's intelligent, bidwan. Just let me know the word vidva, vidya. So bidwan means one who has knowledge, who's wise. It's almost like the English word, wise, wisdom. Bidwan, wisdom. One who is wise he doesn't try to take part in the this material enjoyment, knowing that it is temporary. He sees, Vidwan means he sees how everything is temporary in this material world. Because the first, Prabhupada starts off the purport with our favorite, one of our favorite verses from Bhagavad Gita. Deyanosmin yata dehe komaram jovanam jara tatra dehantara praptir dira tatra namuyate. So, one word is deha. Deha means body. And dehi means who's in the body. It says, deyanosmin yata dehe. There's a dehi, he's dehe, he's in the deha. So in Sanskrit, in means dehe. And this body, komaram jovanam jara, goes from youth to old age to death. Jai C.C. Gornitai C.C. Krishna Balaram C.C. Radha Shyam Sundar. But still, every day we're looking in the mirror and we're saying, that's me. We're thinking somehow that I'm this body, but this body is changing. Which you are you? Are you that little body that your mother held like that? Now if your mother tries to hold you, if she's even alive, her back will break. You change completely. This verse is trying to show to us that we're not the body. Because if I'm the body, which one? I look in the mirror every day. I say, that's me. When I was 5 years old, I was running around, climbing trees, catching lizards, chasing frogs, doing so many things. And we used to think, oh, little girls, that's the worst thing on the planet. We were 5 years old, we were like that. So then we became 15 years old. Then the body changed. Now we're not interested in riding bicycles, we're interested in riding a car. In America, 15 and a half, you get your learner's license. Then at 16, you can get a driver's license. So your mind has also changed. Before you're climbing trees and catching frogs, now you're interested in cars. My goal in life was to get a nice 57 Chevy with chrome reverse wheels and slicks. Mind has also changed. And before we were thinking the little girls, that's the worst thing Krishna put on the planet. And now we're 16, we're thinking, oh, this is a very interesting thing. So the mind has changed. The body changed, we're also, the body has changed, mind has changed. Then we get an old body. We're walking with, before we were walking with two legs, now we're walking with three legs. We started off walking on four, in between we walk on two, in the old age we walk on three. And the eyesight is going, just like nowadays I'm driving Arjun crazy. What did you say? The hearing is going down. So the body has changed. And suddenly there's all this white hair, all these wrinkles, bags under the eyes. I'm still seeing, looking in the mirrors, that's me. But before, all these things weren't there. This white, nice black hair was there and all these things. Smooth face. So which you were you? Which body were you? So dehenusman yata dehe komaram jovanam jara. Dehant. It doesn't say atmahant, it says dehaant. When the body ends, this is like in Braj, all the sadhus, you ask, what happened to Tosidas? Uska sharir pura ho gaya. His body was complete. Uska sharir pura ho gaya. So dehaant. Deha means body has ended. Not the soul is ended, body is ended. Then what happens? Praptir. Praptir means to obtain. He obtains another body. So as long as we're attached to this material world, like I said, the one word is there, samsritim, this samsara, we're continually going from birth to death, birth to death. Even if you go to the heavenly planets, again, martyalokam bitanti. You'll come back down to this world of birth and death. So the real Prabhupada is pointing out here, the real business of human form of life is self-realization. Otherwise we can see the animals, they're better suited for sense gratification. The late Prabhupada always used the example of these pigeons. We're always having so many pigeons now. Somehow we've become quite expert at keeping them out here. But all the pigeons, and what are they doing? Just running around chasing each other for sex life all day long, 40 times a day. And we can't even imagine such a thing in a human body. So all the other bodies, their senses are more keen. Just like dogs, they can hear better and they can smell better. This human form of life is not meant for sense gratification. Rishabh Dev tells his sons that now you got this human body, don't try for those things that are available to even to the dogs, hogs, and camels. Now you should try how to get out of this life. So therefore, anudhyayet, don't even think about sense gratification. Don't even, some of it's seen, some of it's heard about. Anudhyayen, don't even think about, don't even imagine. And this Krishna consciousness is so nice. I think is Lochan Das Thakur, he has a nice song, Kevalananda Khanda. Kevalananda Khanda. This Krishna consciousness is just blissful, blissful life. Prabhupada one time even said, I was on morning walk, Prabhupada said, even if you don't believe in Krishna, still this Krishna consciousness life is the best. Chanting, dancing, feasting, still it is the best. Even if you don't even believe in Krishna, still we have the best life. Kevalananda Khanda. We don't say that you stop seeing. We say you come, you see the beautiful form of the deities, so beautifully dressed. We're very thankful to all the pujaris. Even in this difficult time, they're dressing their lordship so sweetly. The girls are making incredible garlands. We can't even imagine such garlands. So we want to see something beautiful. So we come here and see the beautiful form of the Lord. This is spiritual. This is not material beauty. We see the beautiful form of Krishna and Balaram. We see the beautiful form of Radha Shyam Sundar Lalita Visakha. We don't say, stop hearing. We say, you stop hearing all this nonsense thing. I'm becoming so tired on Facebook. Everybody talking about Corona, Corona, Corona this. We don't believe it. No, it's true. Everyone debating on it. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Prabhupada says, this material world is whatever's happening. Maybe we're being exploited by somebody big. Anyway, this material world is a place of the cheaters and the cheated. That we already know. So even if it is big cheating, what to do? Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Study. Take this advantage to chant more, read more, study more. So we don't say don't hear, but hear about Krishna. Hear about the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Or hear the songs of Krishna. Everybody's listening to all these songs. And I'm so far out, I don't know who's there nowadays, the best singer. I can remember Michael Jackson, all that. And like that. But hear the nice songs about Krishna. Hear the nice kirtan about Krishna. We don't say don't smell, but you smell the nice flowers or this oil. Every day they come around, put the oil in your hand. This was offered to Krishna. This is spiritual smell. So we don't say you give up eating. It's like sometimes the yogis, they become very skinny from giving up eating. But we should eat nice Krishna prasadam, not overeat. But we should eat nice Krishna prasadam, remembering the lotus feet of Krishna. Not eating, we're honoring Krishna prasadam. We should not become artificial. Just like I remember in Houston Temple, we had one senior devotee. Senior devotee meant he had been in the movement for 3 years. Named Srinath, he's no longer in this world. Very wonderful devotee. But my wife and I, we were the cooks. So every day we cook this nice prasadam. Everybody knew that my wife's cooking was one of the best. Still today. And those days we were so poor, instead of eat, we didn't even have plates. We had pieces of wax paper. I don't know if it even exists anymore. But this paper that was waxed, and we put two pieces of paper, everybody got a couple of pieces of wax paper, and we'd serve on that. And every day Srinath would come and he'd look at this big pile of prasadam on his plate, and he'd rip his plate in half and put half of it on the plate. And all the other young brahmacharis were only there for a few months. They were looking up to whatever the big brahmachari does, we have to do, so they would rip. You know, my wife and I, we weren't into this artificial austerity. So we would take all the little pieces of paper and take all that prasadam. We were enjoying like anything. So anyway, we got a new temple president, Hridayananda Maharaj, although he was Hridayananda Adhikari at that time. And one day he watched this thing. The next day, he came in the kitchen. He said, "How much rice did you cook?" I said some number. So he gave me a number three times. I said, "But Maharaj, in this temple, nobody eats anything." And he said, I'm the temple president. I'm telling you to cook three times. And I said, "All right, well, you're the temple president. You're going to get the karma when it's thrown out. I'm not taking this responsibility." He said, "Cut up how many eggplants?" I told him three. He said, "Cut up 10. I said, "But Maharaj, nobody eats in this temple. It's going to go to waste." So I'm the temple president. I said to cut up 10. He said, "All right, you're getting the karma. I'm putting my karma diverter on." You know, with the dal, everything. You know, so we put these big Govardhan hills of prasad on the plates. And all the brahmacharis came, and the young ones were, their sikhas were standing on end. But they were all looking at Srinath, what Srinath's going to do. And Hridayananda launched in this whole lecture. "We're not dry Buddhists that we should be skinny like sticks and break. We're Vaishnavas, we should be full and jolly." And everybody was very happy after that. So, of course, we shouldn't abuse and overeat. But anyway, we don't say don't eat. We say you eat, you give up eating pieces of dried, dead, warmed over dead bodies. Eat nice samosa, puri, paneer sabji, rasgulla, sandesh. You eat like that. But first offer to Krishna. We don't say that you don't have children, but you have children for Krishna. In this way, all the senses are engaged, but in the service of Krishna. This is yoga, to link. So we link all of the senses in Krishna. Just like I can remember, we were walking on the beach in Venice Beach with Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles. Venice Beach is just nearby where we have Rath Yatra. So there was one young boy had come. He was from Arizona or Nevada, someplace like that. Somehow he'd gone through an airport. Some devotee gave him a book. He took it home, he read it. Then he wrote to the book order department and they sent him more books, and he saw everywhere saying chanting. He said, "How do I get chanting beads?" So we sent him chanting beads. He started chanting. Then he said, "How do you make prasadam?" And the devotee sent a letter with the prayers, how to offer prasadam. So then because they were in constant correspondence with him, they said, "Prabhupada's coming to LA. If you can, you should come." So he came, so they invited him to come on the morning walk. So we're on the morning walk. And this boy was anxious to ask some question to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was walking along. And he said, "See, the Prabhupada, I read in your books that wherever a pure devotee stays, then all material enjoyment goes away." And Prabhupada stopped. He dug his cane into the sand. He said, "We do not say, do not enjoy. We do not say in our books, do not enjoy." Just like you were in the kirtan this morning. "Oh, yes, Prabhupada. That was not enjoyable? Oh, yes, Prabhupada. That was very nice. You were not in the Bhagavatam class discussing the philosophy of Krishna? Yes, Prabhupada. That was not enjoyable? Oh, yes, Prabhupada. That was very nice." Yes, this is enjoyment like a human being. And this drink all night and dance in the disco club, that is enjoyment? Oh, no, Prabhupada. No, that is enjoyment like cat and dog. So we don't say you don't enjoy. We say you enjoy like a human being. Don't enjoy like a cat and dog. Enjoy like a human being. Therefore, Kevala Nandakanda, this Krishna Kanda is simply blissful life. So, what was the other nice verse? Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Vigad. Anyway, this is our Krishna consciousness, that you understand that this body is temporary and this material world, no matter what enjoyment is there, we're experiencing right now, what enjoyment is promised to us if we do good, Dristva or Srutva, both, Asat, they're illusion. Try for this happiness of Krishna consciousness. Because everything else, whatever is allotted you by your karma, you're going to get anyway. We make so much enjoyment, with so much endeavor to enjoy, in the end there's only suffering. Maharaj Yati, for 1,000 years he was enjoying, he was never satisfied. I remember sitting in L.A., Prabhupada said, so, for millions of lifetimes you're trying to enjoy. Anybody can say now, I'm fully satisfied, I don't want anything? No, no one can say. So you give this one life, already you tried so many lifetimes to enjoy. So you give this one life for Krishna consciousness. He said, no one can say. Anyone can say, now I'm fully satisfied. When Prabhupada said it, it was so meaningful. Fully satisfied. Anyone can say, now I'm fully satisfied. I don't really know. So you give this one life for Krishna consciousness. That's all we're asking. I forgot what I was going to say. So anyway, this is the point. They try to understand the temporary nature of this world. I was talking about endeavoring. So everybody's endeavoring for happiness. But most of the time we get distress. Just like very graphic example, I remember in my childhood, there was one girl, this is my first encounter with death, I think. I wasn't in her class, so I didn't know her. But the father decided it was her birthday, so for the birthday they were going to take all her friends to the mountains. Have a big picnic in the mountains and hiking and everything. So they made all this endeavor, they rented buses, they got a permission to have a picnic in the forest and everything. All arrangement, they cooking and all the things, a nice birthday cake and this and that. And so they were going through the woods and there was waterfall there. Now you know where there's waterfall, the water's falling down and this mist is coming. So all the rocks, they get wet, or they never dry rather. So then this green type of moss is very slippery. So that girl, she was trying to see the waterfall, and she stepped on those slippery rocks, and she died. Whole endeavor, big expense, big endeavor for happiness, and the end was the worst experience parents could ever have, their child dies before their eyes. So therefore we should see. There was no endeavor for, nobody set out to endeavor to spend all this money and effort and everything for suffering. It was all for happiness. But the end was distress. Without even endeavoring, nobody tried for it. So we should understand if the distress is coming by itself, nobody makes endeavor, nobody wakes up in the morning, oh, I'm going to break my arm today. I'm going to get contaminated with corona today. Nobody may, everybody's making big, wearing these masks and so many things, washing their hands 20 times a day. Don't touch your face. Endeavor, everybody's endeavoring to avoid misery. But misery is coming. So if the misery is coming without endeavor, the happiness will also come. If without endeavoring, we should learn, we should see, I'm not trying for misery, misery is coming. I'm not trying for it, it's coming. So happiness will also come. Whatever is destined by your karma, you're going to get. You don't have to endeavor. Only thing that's not automatically going to come is Krishna consciousness. That you have to endeavor for. Your happiness, distress, that going to come and go. But Krishna consciousness, that we have to endeavor for. That's the thing to endeavor for. And we should learn every day. The scripture is telling us that don't get, here it says, anudyan. Don't even meditate on it. Don't even think about it. Huh? What to speak of actually trying to enjoy this world? Anudyan, dayan. Don't even meditate on it. So, we're hearing this all the time, but we're like little children. It takes time for it to finally sink into our brain. Just like the little child. He's a little child. He sees mother's cooking on the stove, and there's this beautiful little blue and yellow flower is there on the stove. So he goes to touch. Very nice looking thing. He goes to touch. Mother's hot burn. Don't touch, hot burn. But as soon as mother is engaged in something else and her she's not thinking about him, then immediately goes and tries to put his catch that little blue and yellow flower. Then all of a sudden, But still he doesn't learn, because now his mother's got this shiny thing, steam coming out, she's going up and down, ironing all the cloth. It looks so bright, everyone's like, psh, spray comes out, steam's coming out, very shiny. So he wants to go touch, what is this thing? Mother says, hot burn. Still, as soon as mother's jhana is away, immediately goes to touch. Eventually it starts to sink in. When mother says, don't touch, hot burn, it means I'm going to get that interesting experience. It takes him two or three times, then he learns. And we're hearing every day that sense gratification is only suffering. One day it's going to sink into our tiny brain. One day. We're like little children. We can't believe it. We have to try it. Even when we become Krishna conscious, we learn, that time I wasn't Krishna conscious. Now I'm Krishna conscious, I'll try and enjoy again. But Krishna consciously. It's got to someday sink into our tiny little childlike brain. Sense gratification means suffering. Nothing else. It finally has to sink in. Just like the child, it finally has to sink into our brain. It's not sinking in, but somehow one day we have to understand sense gratification only leads to frustration. Doesn't lead to satisfaction. Engaging ourselves in Krishna service, we see, we become engaged in Krishna service, it's so ecstatic. Sometimes it's like we're on book distribution, and all of us, we're just so ecstatic. Every day, somehow everybody's taking a book, and we're just, all of a sudden, beep, beep, Prabhu, it's time to go. They're there with the Sankirtan to take us back to the temple. We didn't even know where the day went. Krishna consciousness is so ecstatic. You just have to become absorbed. That's what we have to endeavor for. So this is very nice verse. This is Bidwan. This is a wisdom that now Yayati, it took him 1,000 years. But we should try, instead of experiencing, sometimes they say, what is that? Experience is the best teacher. But a fool has no other. We should try to learn by hearing from those Bidwan, those who are learned, we should try to hear from them. Don't try to enjoy this material world, even this life or next life. Take up Krishna consciousness. So we'll put our voice to rest here. If there's any questions, we'll try to answer them. Hare Krishna. Also, we'll mention again, because it was announced today, I didn't stick around for announcements today, that this is the day in 1977, May of 1977, that Srila Prabhupada, he had gone to Rishikesh, because they told that the air and the water there was very beneficial, very healthy. But eventually Prabhupada was not feeling any benefit, so this is the day he arrived back. So I hadn't studied that portion, but I can tell but it made me remember an interesting story, because very soon is coming the practice, probably next Purnima, is called, we call it Guru Purnima or Vyas Purnima. Just like we have Gaur Purnima, this next Purnima coming up is Guru Purnima. And that is the day that Sanatana Goswami left this world. So Prabhupada had come back from Rishikesh. He was staying here in his room. He was very sick. So a Yojapati, who's now Bibi Govinda Maharaj, he told me this story. So it was Sanatana Goswami's disappearance day. So he went down to Sanatana Goswami's Samadhi Mandir is there at the foot of Madan Mohan Temple. Now if you go there, our Russian devotees have put incredibly beautiful deity of Sanatana Goswami with big lotus petal, beautiful white deity of Sanatana Goswami there. It's incredible. So let's see, maybe we'll find out today whether lockdown is going on or not. Maybe we can go there and take darshan. Anyway, so he went there to take darshan. He gave a donation. So the pujari gave him, because nowadays we see these beautiful mogra, jasmine flowers are coming this season. It's one of the good things about the hot season, this beautiful white jasmine flowers are coming. So he gave a nice, he took, you know, there was like a obelisk, a spot where Sanatana Goswami is staying. There's this piece of marble shaped like this. So he took one of the jasmine garlands and gave it to Yojapati. So Yojapati kept it. He thought, I'm going to give this to Srila Prabhupada. So he came back here to the temple. He went into Prabhupada's room. He handed Prabhupada a garland. He said, this is a garland from Sanatana Goswami's Samadhi on his disappearance day today. And Prabhupada put the garland to his eyes like this. And he smiled at Yojapati and he said, this is a gift from the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So there's no other questions. We can all fall down to the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's trying to over and over again tell us sense gratification leads to pain, and one day we're going to believe it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.